Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
PJ Carlesimo making the rounds as part of ESPN's NBA playoff coverage. Analyst for ESPN. Let's make PJ the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
PJ, what's happening? Appreciate the time, as always.
Good being with you guys. Appreciate it. No problem.
So, let's just sort of start with the meltdown from last night. When you sort of diagnose everything that went wrong for Philadelphia, of course, one of the biggest comeback. It is the biggest comeback in playoff history for the Hawks, and one of the biggest collapses in playoff history in the NBA generally. Where do you begin?
Well, I think you begin with Joel Embiid and the fact that he's not 100%. You just see him over the course of a game. I didn't expect him to be very mobile, to be honest with you. I even thought there was a chance he might not play the game, as important as it was, the way he finished up game four. And yet he's moving around. He looked, to me, totally different to the naked eye. Again, I'm, you know, a couple thousand miles away. We're doing the Bucks Nets series, but obviously watching the other one. And by the fourth quarter, he was not moving as well. He wasn't contesting. He wasn't getting off his feet in terms of contesting shots. He wasn't moving as quickly. And offensively, he had a little trouble getting by people, whereas he dominated early. He just took the ball to Capella or whoever was playing him, and I thought that was a major problem. Atlanta's bench has been, I don't know what number to put on it, five times better than the Philadelphia bench for most of the series. Last night it was Gallinari and drawing a blank. I'm so confused with series. Two of them combined for big numbers off the bench. Gallo, and they just were getting whatever they wanted, and I thought that was huge because it seems the starters, you know, I mean, Philadelphia's starting group was still in good shape when Doc made his normal rotation late in the third quarter, and instead Lou, I'm forgetting, I apologize.
Williams, yep.
Yeah, I mean, Lou Williams and Gallo just like were getting what they needed to get, and Lou in particular in the fourth quarter. But you look at their numbers, it just got away from Philadelphia when they went to the bench. And by the time Doc gets the starters back in, to me, Joel wasn't as mobile, and I don't know whether he was tired, whether the knee, you know, was bothering him. It just didn't look like the same player to me late. But that's not giving Atlanta enough credit. John Collins was great. He had another double-double. Trae Young's been ridiculous. And, you know, you got the problem with Ben Simmons not being able to make free throws. And as much as everybody talks about that, and it's a concern, but he still does way more good things than, you know, than not. So you need to have him on the floor. But a guy who's an 86% free thrower, Joel missed a pair late in the game that were monster free throws. So, you know, take your pick. You know, you got about five different areas where for a good chunk of the first 36 minutes, Philadelphia played like the elite defensive team that they are. We're totally in control of the game. And then in the fourth quarter, they didn't play like, I mean, you know, they had three all defensive players. Ben makes first team, and Joel Embiid and Matisse Thybulle make second team all defense. They were in for most of the fourth quarter, and Lou Williams is going by him. Trae Young's going by him, and they're finishing at the rim when they do penetrate, and Joel doesn't have the same kind of lift that he had early. So, you know, Doc you know, certainly didn't sleep a lot last night, and his head's got to hurt from as many different things as he's trying to address. I don't think the series is over by any stretch. You know, they were too good all year, but obviously they're in a very tough situation right now. And to me, especially if that injury to Joel is slowing him down a little bit.
Doc, Coach, I know you've probably seen the number 11-5 last two seasons when his teams have had a 16-point lead in a playoff game. Rest of the NBA 76-3 in that span. Do you just chalk that one up and say, well, that can't? I mean, doesn't some of this have to fall on Doc Rivers at some point when you've been to your point?
Well, anytime you're a coach and it doesn't work out, it falls on you.
Right.
Sometimes disproportionately. I would say, no, it doesn't fall on Doc as much as it falls on right now. You know, Joel and Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris going 2-for-11 last night. You know, the players that are on the floor and the players that were on the floor for the Clippers last year, to me, it falls equally on them. You know, Doc would be the first to say, hey, I'm the coach. You know, his first comments after the game last night, we got to do a better job. We, meaning the staff and the players. But I think really when you look at these teams, Philadelphia had Brett Brown coaching in the past. Brett's a real close friend, and you know some of these were pinned on Brett then when these guys let playoff games get away from them. You know, that Clippers series isn't over yet. They might be pinning some stuff on Lou before it's over. So I think, you know, when it keeps happening repeatedly with the same group of players, you got to wonder, maybe it's not the coaches, maybe it's the players. So, you know, I'm always going to come down on the side of coaches anyhow. So,
is the Ben Simmons shooting and free throw, you know, the disaster that we saw last night at the is that fixable, Coach?
I would think yes, but it's easy for me to say when you got a guy as talented as he is. And again, Brett was a good friend. Brett says motivated. Obviously, they've had more than one. I'm sure it hasn't been the same person all the time that Ben's been in Philadelphia working with him. At this point, it's just such a mental thing to an extent that's what scares you a little bit. I hadn't realized until going kind of deeper into the Milwaukee numbers, Giannis is similar. But yeah, this is Giannis' eighth year in the league, and if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, years 2 through 6, 5 years, he shot over 72% from the free throw line. One of them he shot 77%. Now, how could he be shooting what he's shooting? Last year he shot 63%. This year he got it up to 68% from the free throw line in the regular season. So, like, I mean, you just shake your head. It's not that they don't have people working with them, you know, besides the coaching staffs we have now. It's not that he's not putting in the time, you know, between games in the off season and during the regular season. How do you fix it? We're not talking average athletes. We're talking all NBA caliber, you know, all-stars that they're having trouble fixing this with. Wilt Chamberlain was arguably the best athlete to ever play this game, and he could never get the free throw thing together. And yet the night he scored 100, didn't he make most of them or all but, you know, out of 22 or something like that? You can't figure it out. It's a major problem. I still think a possession, do you maybe take him out late in the game or something like that? Yeah, but when you're talking, you know, your all-star, your franchise player, you can't mess with him too much. This is the way he is. He's doing a lot more good things than bad. You can't start not playing him the last 4 minutes of a game or, you know, from the 5-minute mark to the 2-minute mark and then you put him in. So it's a problem. It's just that's what you're buying into. It's really, you know, I know it's more accentuated, and I'm not saying it's not more severe, but you got guys that are good defensive players that can't score for you. You know, you got guys that can't shoot threes. You got guys that can't guard anybody, but they're good offensive players. So his limitation and Giannis's with free throws is just right out there and seems to be hurting you a lot more. When they split, you're getting one. A good offensive team, you only average a little more than one in possession anyhow. So, you know, you could go round and round with this one, but I just don't see him taken him out for significant time. You take him out for particularly in a game six elimination game or a game seven, yeah, you're going to be more apt to do it, and he's going to be more apt to understand. But you start doing that on a regular basis, you got a problem with one of your two franchise players that you have a boatload of money invested in.
Coach, what's the first adjustment you're making tonight in game six if you're Mike Budenholzer? Is it just a fiery speech? Was there something you saw? Is it saying, look, Giannis, it's an elimination game. There's going to be times I need you on KD. What are you doing, Coach, if you're in those shoes tonight?
No, he may look at Giannis on KD. Giannis fouled out the other night, which everybody forgets. I mean, late in the game, he had fun. You know, I didn't think you could do it the other night. I think, frankly, you could have put Kareem, I'm trying to think of who else, Shaq, LeBron and four other guys on KD the other night. It wouldn't have mattered. He was in the zone. He was in one of those zones that forget about it. When you can dribble it and shoot it from three, and you're an unselfish player, and you're a money player that makes and takes big shots at the end. That one possession. Remember the possession? He went out and James was in trouble, like out closer to half court than he was the 3-point line. They had him kind of boxed in. KD goes running out basically and gets the ball, takes one dribble because the clock's about to go off. The shot clock and buries it. I mean, it's ridiculous, the shots he made. I think Bud may look at if Giannis is not in foul trouble late. He may look at it fourth quarter. I think the bigger concern is they have to limit the games they've limited Brooklyn's 3-point field goal attempts. Mm-hmm. They won the other three games. They got up near 40 3-point attempts up, and obviously that's hurt them. They also need to make some threes themselves. The three-point line is so important in this series. It's incredible. When they get stops, they could run, then Giannis gets to score. I actually thought the other night, I've lost track of days, but game five was Giannis's best game in terms of shot selection. He wasn't burping up inappropriate threes. He took one early, made it, then he took another one that you had to expect. The shot that bothered me of all the shots Giannis took was on the left baseline when he had James Harden guarding him.
Yes.
And he settled for that kind of like Akeem, you know, fadeaway. It's easy for me to sit here and say he shouldn't have done that. But, I mean, I thought he was really good with his shot selection in game five. He also dropped a pass. When it happened live, I said to Sean Kelly, we were doing the game together, Sean, I got to see that again. Maybe Chris made like a low pass that would hit him in the shins. I watched the replay. It hit him dead in the hands.
Yep.
If he catches that and dunks it or makes a layup, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably would have, we might have had overtime the other night. So it wasn't like they got killed. Yes, they had a big lead, but there's not a lot of people going to go into Brooklyn and you know, really beat them up, particularly when KD goes for 49 and Jeff Green's making every shot he's looking at. So it was a tough night, and it was a tough loss, but they came damn close to getting it. So, I don't think you change a lot of stuff. If they can guard the three-point line better, it would be huge for two reasons. It will slow Brooklyn down a little bit, but it might get them playing downhill. Giannis, when they're running, not after taking the ball out of bounds, but off turnovers or misses, he's like a totally different player.
Agreed.
When you slow those guys down and get them into half court, you got a chance.
Yeah.
In terms of the Nets tonight, and it was a warrior effort from James Harden, who's coming back early from this hamstring, and clearly he was not right in game five. He did gut it out though, and he was out there for 41 minutes. I know
46. Excuse me, he was 46.
So 46. Wow. Yeah. I mean,
which to me, if you'd asked me before, first of all, I didn't think he was going to play.
Right.
Secondly, 46 minutes, I'd have said you're out of your mind. There's no way he's playing 46 minutes.
So to that point, PJ, he did not shoot the ball. I mean, it was historically bad for James. Can it get better? Do you expect him to shoot the ball better tonight?
Without question, if they play him, you could have, and I'm sure they did, a healthy conversation about, hey, maybe we roll the dice and don't play James, see if we can win without him, and then he's got a couple more days rest going into the next round, or we have him a little healthier for game seven back in Brooklyn on Saturday. I don't know if they – I'm sure they had the discussion. James might have said, hey, I don't want to hear about it. I'm playing, which was certainly part of the conversation the other night. And Steve Nash more or less told us that. He basically said, look, if James wants to play, we're going to play him. So I think it will be the same thing tonight. I don't think he'll go 1-for-10 again. just because he could shoot right-handed and not go 1-for-10 again, I think. But I just think he did help them way more than I thought he would have in terms of the rebounding. He had eight assists and six rebounds, and Bruce Brown, a couple guys missed shots. He should have had double-digit assists. He made a couple of other good passes setting teammates up that they didn't make shots. So, you know, if he just threw the ball to KD and Jeff Green and Blake Griffin, he'd add even more assists. But I do think he'll play better if he plays. I'll be shocked if he can play 46 minutes again. Even KD, I mean, he is superhuman, but, you know, I would think Steve will try and find a way to rest him a little bit if he can in this game. 48 minutes is
yeah. –
and again, KD, it's one, you can score 48 and play great offense. He had – I don't have the I'm trying to find a box score in front of me from doing too many different series. He some of the other stuff he did, he had 17 rebounds. You could talk about a guy getting 17 – like if Jonas got 17 rebounds, you'd be talking just about that. He had 10 assists. If Jai had 10 assists, you'd say, yeah, man, that's unbelievable. Yeah. He had three steals. He had two block shots. Oh, and by the way, he got 49 points. I mean, it was he was playing both ends of the floor, and he was involving his teammates, and he was helping his teammates. I don't think it's possible, not for KD, I don't know if it's possible for anybody to have a game like that again. So there's a lot of things went right for Brooklyn. Maybe the most important thing, and I don't know why. I know it's better in the playoffs now because you got people in buildings, and it's a lot tougher to play on the road. But these guys have played eight games now, regular season and playoffs, and the home team's won every time. That's really strange this year, but that's what it's been. So maybe being back in five-serve form will get them to game seven.
Is when you look out west, Coach, is Phoenix, as long as Chris Paul gets back relatively soon from the health and safety protocols, is Phoenix the team to beat out there now that we, you know, you look at the injuries, what's happened to the Clippers? Paul was great last night, but can they get through? Is Phoenix the team to beat?
Well, I'm topping out. I mean, it's a very fair question, but, I mean, you got three what-ifs. If the Clippers have Kawhi Leonard healthy, no, then I think they're as good as Phoenix or Utah if Mike Conley's healthy.
Yeah.
Plus, I didn't think Donovan McNabb looked 100% last night either. As much as he made some good plays, he was dragging his leg a little bit at times. So it's really sad what's happened with the injuries this year with the playoffs. I mean, it's always a factor. I remember when we were lucky enough to win when I was, you know, sitting on the San Antonio bench, and almost every, you know, you remember KD and Klay Thompson going down. You remember when Kyrie and Kevin Love were hurt in the finals. I mean, that was just in the finals alone. We're not even done with the second round, and we got wholesale injuries to major players. So I think the West health is going to be a major, major factor. I think there's at least three, and you know, we're discounting the two teams that are still alive in those two series. But I think if you go with the chalk, the teams that finished, you know, at the top, Mike Conley, Kawhi, and CP3, how healthy they are might be the deciding factor in the playoffs.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, of course, talking to PJ Carlisimo, we're going to be on the call for Bucks Nets tonight, ESPN Radio analyst for ESPN in the NBA playoffs. Then last thing, sort of off the playoff beat, Coach, Penny Hardaway, we know him here obviously very well in Memphis. His name has come up in NBA coaching circles. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that teams are doing intel on him and that he may get offers to interview for head coaching jobs, and there are certainly a lot of them in the NBA. What do you make of Penny Hardaway being a name for these coaching openings around the league?
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think you know, our league's always been a copycat league, and I think some coaches have come in and not done a good job, done very, very good jobs. You look at this year alone. I call Quinn Snyder more a coach than a player. And that's not being fair to him because he was a great college player. But Steve Nash, obviously. Monty Williams, obviously. I mean, look at Doc and Nate McMillan. I don't want to start naming ones, and I'm overlooking somebody else. But I think that has been a recent trend. Given that's a recent trend, Penny makes a ton of sense because of how good a player he was and because he's invested time. Yeah, they're hiring other people, and you can't do, I don't think, a better job than Steve Nash has done so far. But they're hiring other people with none or virtually no coaching experience. So Penny is ahead of the curve with that. He's coached. You know, he's put practice plans together. He's handled losing streaks, players, and all of that. So he's more prepared than some of the guys, I think. So I think it would make sense. I don't think it hurts him either. You know, when I was at the first time I got involved, I was very lucky. I got the Portland job. Some, you know, for a while, if you're a college coach, you said, I don't want the rumor out there that I might go to the pros. That might hurt recruiting. The way it is now, that might help recruiting. Mm-hmm. You know, guys might say, hey, I want to go play for this guy. He played in the NBA, and you know, he may even be coaching in the NBA someday. So I don't think there's a downside. I think if I'm the administration, I'm a little nervous because you don't want to lose Penny. But I don't see it hurting their program. I think, if anything, it enhances his ability to recruit and attract players.
Agreed completely. PJ, great
Thank
stuff as always.
So much,
always
Coach.
Appreciate your time. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Take it easy.
Yep. Too.
He is PJ Carlesimo, going to be again on the call, ESPN Radio for Bucks and Nets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.